1290 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The White House in damage control following President Biden's debate last week, his performance raising concerns within his own party about re-election chances. Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre was asked about former Nancy Pelosi's interview today, saying that the president's condition during the debate raises legitimate questions whether it was just one episode.
I would not see this as an episode. I would see this as what it was and what we believe it to be, which is it was a bad night. And he did, on top of that, he had a cold.
New hope for Alzheimer's patients, the FDA approving Eli Lilly's drug that has shown to help slow progression in the early stages of the disease. It's the second Alzheimer's treatment drug to be approved. Hurricane Beryl blamed for at least six deaths in the Lesser Antilles, including Venezuela and St. Vincent and the Grenadines. The strong Category 4 hurricane now setting its sights on Jamaica and the Dominican Republic. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.fm.
Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Voters in Milwaukee's 4th State Senate District are voting in a special election today. The winner will serve out the rest of former Senator Lena Taylor's term. She left office to become a judge. Dora Drake is running against Lakeisha Myers in the Democratic primary. The winner will face no Republican opposition in the general election. 15,000 delegates and other guests descend on Milwaukee in less than 2 weeks. Allison Prangy leads the host committee. She tells WYSN-TV's Up Front she hopes convention-goers leave with a lasting impression.
It's a great city for your family. It's a great place to work. And we're excited for people to get a chance to experience that.
But not everyone's busy. The Pabst Theater Group tells the Recombobulation Area website that RNC bookings have been disappointing and a failure. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. Katrina Bauer plans to make a plea bargain in her child neglect case on July 18th. Bauer is the mother of 3-year-old Elijah Vu, who was reported missing from Two Rivers on February 20th. Prosecutors say she left her son with her boyfriend, Jesse Vang, for disciplinary reasons. She faces child neglect and obstruction charges. A sentencing date has not been set. No one has been charged with the disappearance of Elijah. The BBB is warning about utility scams in the area. They can happen at any time, but typically pop up during hot weather when people are more likely to need their air conditioning. The scammers call, text, or knock on the door impersonating water, electric, and gas company representatives, threatening to turn off service if they aren't paid immediately. Consumers can find out more information on how to protect themselves on scams by following the Wisconsin BBB on social media. And that's what you need to know. I'm Lisa Hale, WGBW News.
The Brewers bow to the Rockies. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Colorado Rockies have the worst record in the National League, but last night they beat the Brewers 8-7 in 10 innings. Things got weird in the fifth. Game tied 3-3. Joey Ortiz lays down a bunt and is safe at first, but called out for running outside the base path on Bally Sports Wisconsin.
Bunt attempt by Ortiz. Tough play. Gomber missed him. They're going to say that Joey Ortiz is out of the running lane, and he's going to be out, and now Pat Murphy is going to come and argue this play.
Pat Murphy on getting ejected, even though the replay showed it was a bad call at first.
The first base umpire said that he went more than 3 feet away from the player. In my judgment, I felt like he didn't go more than 3 feet away. If there's any uncertainty, go ahead and ask the home plate umpire. He took offense to that.
After a tough loss to the Rockies, what's next? Joey Ortiz.
Go win some ball games. There's not much to it.
That's Brewers third baseman Joey Ortiz. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Dark, damp, dreary, and breezy today as showers and thunderstorms ramp up again this afternoon and into the evening, bringing some heavy rainfall totals possible. Where over an inch of rain is likely, rising rivers and creating some flash flooding. Stay safe. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 69 degrees.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, and on the Civic Media app.
Join Liza Hellenbrand for The Empowered Caregiver every Saturday morning from 8 to 9. The Empowered Caregiver Show uplifts caregivers through education, advocacy, and support, while also lifting up their invaluable role in society. The Empowered Caregiver is sponsored by Lakeland Care, providing personalized support that aims to improve quality of life and maintain independence for elders and those with disabilities. It's The Empowered Caregiver, Saturday at 8 on 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW Talk of Green Bay.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
Wednesday morning, it will be my honor to be joined on the airwaves by President Joe Biden. We'll talk about the accomplishments of his administration and his plans for the next 4 years.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings at 9. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
We better be careful because that election's going to be rigged. And I hope the Republicans are watching closely or it's going to be taken away from us.
We chained our hearts in vain. We jumped, never asking why. We kissed, I fell under your spell of love. No one could deny. Don't you ever say I just walked away. I will always want you.
Don't worry, I'm not going to walk away. I'll still be here talking about it every gosh darn day. Welcome back, Wisconsin. I am Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We've been talking today about the immunity decision. I'm going to get into the debate and stitch this all together for you. I just want to take a moment to have a collective chuckle with everybody who is listening or watching on YouTube and Instagram and Facebook as well. Got a texter hitting me up on the text line. I'll let him remain nameless, calling me a little girl with an agenda. Well, I'm not a little girl anymore. I don't think I ever was. I popped out and I was nearly 6 feet at that point in time. And I don't have an agenda other than the protection of our democracy and the rule of law, which the Supreme Court did much to dismantle. And speaking of the dismantling of our democracy, the GOP, or the MAGA cult, is back at it again today. As I mentioned at the top of the show, in about a third of Milwaukee County today, we have a special election to replace former Senator Lena Taylor, who has taken a seat by appointment by Governor Evers on the Milwaukee County Circuit Court bench. Two candidates, both Democrats, are running for her seat. I have with me today as a very special guest, Mayor of Glendale, Mayor Brian Kennedy. Brian, we've known each other for a number of years. You have quite an august resume. You've got a PhD. You've worked on the Metropolitan Milwaukee Sewerage District. You've worked for unions. Thanks so much for making time, Brian, to be here this afternoon to tell us what exactly is going on in the polling places all across the northern third of Milwaukee County. Again, welcome, Brian. Tell us what's going on.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it. And I don't know that it's happening at all the polling places, but I can tell you that Glendale seems to have been singled out today for Republican observers. They came in this morning shortly after the polls opened. They showed their proper ID. They signed in and registered. Some of them said they were from the GOP. Others said they were from they were a concerned citizen. One person said they were from Hot Government. I don't know if you've had opportunity to talk about them on this show, but they're sort of one of those election watchdog groups on the right. One said he was from the Traditionalist Party. So interesting sign-ins from these folks. None of them from Milwaukee County. They were from places like Norway and Caledonia and other places outside of the county. And they began early on challenging the absentee ballots that were being processed. We don't have a central count in Glendale. We send them all out to the polling places. And just like it used to be before some of these municipalities got central count. And so they began challenging anything and everything they could think of. The Election Commission has given us guidelines. There are a handful of items that you can challenge an absentee ballot for. And our staff are well trained. They know what they're allowed to be challenged on, and they also know what they're not allowed to be challenged on. And so, when there was any pushback, they started in a couple cases getting a bit belligerent with the chief election inspectors. Police were called to all three of our polling locations at City Hall. They came over from the PD, and the folks seemed to settle down there. But then they got a call from one of our other locations. The clerk left with some police officers and went to that location. Police officers said to one of the people, "Sorry, you're going to have to go. You're being a disruption, and that's not within the rules." They did peacefully leave. They were not cited. They didn't, no one got arrested or anything. But then they got a call immediately to go to the third polling location. So Glendale has three locations for our six wards. And so at the third location, once again, somebody had to leave. By the time the clerk and the police got back to City Hall, the observers there had left. They were basically just, I think we're getting a precursor of what we should expect in November. This is how they're going to do. They're going to go into predominantly Democratic areas. Glendale votes 75% Democratic. We had two African Americans running for a state Senate seat to run the ballot in a Democratic primary. No Republican primary. There is no one else running. Whoever wins today will be the next state senator. And they were doing, I think they were just getting practice for what they want to do in November, and that is go after all the Democratic ballots. And today they knew they were all Democrats who were voting.
What do you think this bodes in terms of simply people power that's going to be needed come November? I mean, when I heard your account of what was going on, and the volume of response, the volume of just the impact of that disruption, do we have enough people to cover every single polling place in southeastern Wisconsin, in Milwaukee County, in Dane County, and every other Democratic-leaning county in the state? I mean, what sort of man and woman power are we talking about to ensure that every person that is entitled to vote indeed has their vote counted, as is our constitutional guaranteed right?
It was obviously today, limited number of polling places open. You know, it's in Shorewood, Glendale, across part of the north side of Milwaukee, and I think a handful of wards in the northern part of Wauwatosa. So we're the only places we're running elections. So today, when I was able to reach out to the district attorney, I got him on the phone. He said, "No, we'll if you need us, let us know. We've got folks we can send out and help right away." I reached out to Wisconsin Voices. They do a lot of work with voter protection. They actually had me on the radio program earlier this morning. I reached out to the State Democratic Party to make sure they were aware. So if they're trying this in a special election that's low turnout in just a handful of places, I can only imagine what they're gearing up for in August and November.
My guest, this special guest segment here on the Maggie Dawn Show, is Glendale Mayor Brian Kennedy. Brian was first elected to mayor of Glendale in 2015 and has been reelected in 2018, 2021, and 2024. Thank you so much for your on-the-spot reporting of what's been going on, Brian, and for your continued work to ensure that every single voter within your city limits has their right protected, as it well should be. Continue the good fight, Brian. Any words of advice that you want to give to voters statewide here on my show about how to protect their franchise or what they should know going into polling places for this August 13th primary coming up, and of course, for the fall election in November?
I think I would just say this. We have got fantastic clerks all across this state. They know how to conduct these elections. They know how to do them well. Yes, we did see some turnover with some clerks because they got threats. But most of our clerks have stayed on the job. They're well-trained. They know what they're doing. Trust the process. Trust that they are going to defend your right to cast your ballot. They're going to do everything that they can. And we know that the Republicans are going to come with frivolous lawsuits. They did last time, and every single one of them got thrown out of court. And so we just need to keep doing the right thing, and that is showing up, voting, and knowing that when our votes are cast, that there's good people working the polls, and they're going to make sure that those votes get counted.
Thanks so much, Brian. You heard it here from the mayor of Glendale, Brian Kennedy. Again, thank you for your service, sir, and please keep up the good work.
All right.
We'll talk soon. I'd love to have you back sometime. I think one of the most important things that I want to point out is the role that an election inspector and the clerks have in polling places. Again, elections inspectors basically rule the roost, if you will, as to individual polling places and have discretion to remove someone if they are being disruptive to the voting process. So if you yourself as a voter are in the process of voting, or you volunteer to work at a poll and someone is being intimidating, threatening, loud, boisterous, in other words, disruptive in any way, both as a voter or a poll volunteer, you can ask to speak to the election inspector. You have a right to cast your ballot in peace and gosh darn quiet. They have a right to challenge your ballot, and that challenge will be duly noted, and the appropriate process will then move forward. But no one has a right to stop the election process or to basically intimidate their way into bullying voters in polling places. Those are actual legal violations in the state of Wisconsin, and people can be subject to arrest. As Brian pointed out, typically the process is that police or district attorney's office officials will show up at polling places, give people a very specific directive, and or ask them to leave. Arrests are very rare, very unusual, but I think, Brian, what your accounts to indicate is we are seeing a ramping up of these sorts of tactics by the MAGA cult and their aligned public interest groups. Closing thoughts, Brian.
Well, I think Trump has, you know, been telling us in his rallies exactly what he wants his folks to do. And these cultists, they're going to go out and they're going to do exactly as their cult leader tells them. And so they're going to try and disrupt the elections. They're going to try to do everything they can to make sure that that there are a number of folks that think that, you know, the voting process might be flawed, or that there are imperfect people that are working, so they're going to make mistakes. He's really cast a lot of doubt on the voting process among his followers. But the rest of us, including the many independents who have thankfully been voting for Tony Evers and for Joe Biden, those many independents, they can see this process and see that the process actually works. And so it's a matter of us continuing to, as I said, show up and vote, trust the process, and then defend that process. When people call it into question, you're sitting with friends and, you know, and someone says something that they heard Trump say, then it's time to say, you know, no, that's wrong. That's a lie. Donald Trump lies all the time. And what he said was a lie. You know, you can look across Wisconsin and see that voting here is fair, and all the votes that have been cast are properly counted. You know, people are not disenfranchised in our state. Actually, they're not disenfranchised in most places across the country. And we just need to keep reiterating that message to folks.
And you needn't take it from Brian or I. You can simply look to the testimony before Congress and in other forums by Donald Trump's former head of cybersecurity for elections in this country, who said the same and said that the election in 2020 was the most secure in our nation's history. Anybody that tells you otherwise is lying. I'll leave us with this thought before we go take care of some business with some important messages. That is this: for Black folks to get the right to vote and to be treated equally under the law, we needed the allies in white people. For women to get the right to vote and to be treated equally under the law, at least on the face of the law, we needed men to stand up. Likewise, and so too here, if you are a conservative of conscience and you care about our democracy, we need you to stand with other reasonable people and the vast majority of Americans and Wisconsinites who believe in our system and know our system works. Please stand up to the lies and the garbage that is getting spewed. Thanks again to Brian Kennedy, mayor of Glendale since 2015. My name's Maggie Dawn. We'll be back in just a moment after these important messages here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The process is rigged. This whole election is being rigged.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Are you and your family weather ready? I'm Terry Barr. Wisconsin weather is ever-changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our Weather Ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
You may have heard the word derecho as a part of the weather lately, but what do you know about it? Derecho is a Spanish word meaning direct or straight ahead. It's why you may hear straight line winds blamed for damage from a derecho. A downburst, which is an area of strong, damaging winds, causes a derecho, and the Weather Service does not issue warnings for these. They're just standard severe thunderstorm warnings. So this means you'll want to be weather ready during any severe storm. If you're outside, camping, hiking, boating, find a shelter. Otherwise, lie flat, face down, on low ground. Most derechos happen in July, and Wisconsin typically has one or two per year. But experts say climate change will only help increase these numbers. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
Ooh-wee. We got a situation on our hands, folks. It's going to take every last one of us to stand up to all of this nonsense that is percolating. Want to take a couple of texts, then we're going to go to the phone lines. A texter from WISS, the 920, saying that, yes, this person agrees the Democratic Party and the campaign needs to unload the coffers and start spending any penny that we've got to educate the public about what is going on. They also asked, hey, is there a way to bring the message that you're hearing from myself and my colleagues here on the Civic Media Radio Network to the masses? Tell everybody about the network. You can find us anywhere at civicmedia.us. You can catch all of my old shows, including yesterday's barn burner, at civicmedia.us. Go catch the app. I also am really excited to share with you that portions of my program are now going to be broadcast on television on a network called Purple TV. I believe they started yesterday. I'll be getting you more information about where you can find Purple TV to see me and Brian tackling the issues of the day every day for you and for our democracy. Also want to call out Tom from New Berlin saying evangelicals are a minority telling the majority that their faith is best. Couldn't agree with you more. Tom also noting that he feels like what is happening now is somewhat related to prohibition in the turn of the century. Interesting. Not sure if I understand that comment, Tom, but you are always welcome to call in and explain further. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I'm going to be turning the page a bit and talking about what was really going on in the debate and some of my thoughts about those that are calling for Biden to step down from the ticket. But first, let's hear from Jack from Merrimack. Welcome to the show, Jack. What's your thought this afternoon?
Thanks for getting me on, Maggie. First of all, I've been saying this since the attempted coups in 2021. Biden's first priority should have been to have put in four new justices into the Supreme Court. And there's lots of arguments for doing that, including the fact that when the Supreme Court was expanded to nine justices, there were nine federal districts, I believe. Now there are 13. Right. Four more makes 13. The second thing I want to say is that his second priority should have been, and again, all this before any of the financial stuff that passed, which was great, I agree. But before that, the John Lewis Voting Rights Act should have been a top priority. We would be in a lot less trouble in this situation if this had been happening.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Jack. What also came to mind, to my mind over the last 24 hours was Senators Lisa Murkowski and the other swing, I'm going to blank on the other senator's name, that have been so integral to getting some of these Supreme Court justices, these kangaroo judges that Donald Trump appointed, confirmed. And they sort of stood by the fact that many of these justices said they would follow Supreme Court precedent. Well, we now know that that was a lie, don't we? There's no stare decisis. They threw out 248 years of this nation's history to declare a president a king. Mark from Prairie du Sac, thanks for your patience. What do you have to say this afternoon?
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, it's interesting that a Supreme Court that cannot find a way to fathom a way to get the right to privacy in the Constitution, from the Constitution, has assigned incredible cosmic power to the President of the United States. And that Hamilton addressed a little bit of that in Federalist 81, and a comment that he made because he was opposed to the Supreme Court being able to decide whether laws are constitutional or not. And he made the comment that the errors and usurpations of the Supreme Court of the United States will be uncontrollable, and remediless. And we're certainly without a remedy at this point in time, aside from, you know, making sure that Donald Trump doesn't get in sniffing distance of the office anymore. And I'd point out that Donald Trump was in violation of his oath to the Constitution, because he has to, one of the duties of the president is to uphold the Constitution. And one of those is our right to vote under 14.2 of the Constitution, you know, setting aside for the moment 14.3, which talks about insurrection, but our absolute right to select the electors that are going to appoint the president, to elect the president of the United States, was they attempted to violate that amendment. And I would say right there is that the Supreme Court is, if the president cannot be held to uphold his oath to the Constitution, then what else is there? I mean,
absolutely, Mark. I couldn't agree with you more. It is incredible that the Supreme Court could say something like, well, he can say whatever he wants to the DOJ. And of course, that is entitled to absolute immunity, even if the president instructed the DOJ to basically manufacture evidence to prosecute his political opponents. Well, that's protected and absolutely immune. Even if the president told the Department of Justice to seize voting machines to deprive citizens of their constitutionally guaranteed right to vote, according to this Supreme Court, not a problem. That's absolutely immune. And what that is absolute nonsense. To the texters asking, where can we find Purple TV, where you'll find me and other civic media hosts, Purple TV launched on June 27th. It is on the over-the-air broadcast TV channel 16.1 on WWMW in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Again, we're going to have bite-sized videos. My show will be clipped there. You can check it out. Generally broadcasting from 7 to 11 p.m. Monday through Friday. So go check it out. You will find me there. You can always watch what Brian and I are doing live every day, Monday through Friday, 2 to 4 p.m. on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. My YouTube channel for the Maggie Dawn Show, we're going to be migrating over to the General Civic Media YouTube channel. So if you've been watching me on YouTube, don't worry, I'm still there. You're just going to look for me at Civic Media's YouTube. This is a really good setup, I think. You know, Mark's point about elections and where we stand with much of this, I do want to turn the page, because what Mark is saying about our votes mattering is a clear, clear part of my thinking about Joe Biden's place on the ticket, his continuing place on the ticket, and those that are calling for him to step down. What does all of this mean? I will be giving you my take, my final word on the matter, at least as it stands today, given my understanding today and the information that I've got at hand today. You're not going to want to miss that. I'm going to turn to that after the bottom of the hour, important messages and farm update. I'm also going to try to then bring this all together and explain what exactly is at risk, what is at stake, and to remind us of some of the things that many Republicans, including Bill Barr and Mitch McConnell, have had to say about the wannabe tyrant dictator for a day. Well, according to the Supreme Court, king forever, Donald J. Trump. Don't go anywhere, everybody. My name's Maggie Dawn. He is Brian Kelly. And as always, you can join us 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. We'll be talking about the debate and what it means after this monumental Supreme Court ruling, after these important messages.
Sorry to crush your hopes and dreams.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
We got the Perspective Planting Report on Friday, and it caught the attention of us not so much from the acres perspective, but the amount of grain that we still have on hand. I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report, and John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing, says the acres were well above trade expectations and just adding to that supply pile. But the biggest thing that he noted from the report was the corn stock number.
The biggest thing to me, you know, the knife in the back and then the twist of the knife in my mind was the fact that that corn stocks number came in at just under 5 billion bushels. That's up 890 million bushels from last year, 120 million bushels above expectations. And it just shows us we got a fairly large supply of corn out there. But then on top of that, 3 billion of that is still in producers' hands, up 37% year over year. So that becomes an immediate rally killer if we do get any type of price moving to the higher side. We need to see that those products will start moving, limiting that market overall.
That's John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing. You can hear more from him on that report on our podcast at thefarmwi.com. I'll have a look at your closing markets right after this.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Rural Mutual Insurance is a proud sponsor of the Wisconsin State Fair. As a thank you for your support, they're giving away State Fair tickets. Visit ruralmutual.com/win and enter to win State Fair tickets.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Wisconsin Farm Bureau is the trusted voice leading agriculture forward. Through the efforts of farmers, supported by organizations like Farm Bureau, agriculture continues to sustainably advance, meeting the needs of today while addressing the challenges that come with feeding a growing population. By providing resources, training, and advocacy, Farm Bureau empowers farmers to embrace sustainable solutions for a stronger tomorrow.
A voice for farmers, a vision for agriculture, Wisconsin Farm Bureau.
I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report with a look at your closing markets. And cash corn closed at 408, up a penny, and new crop corn closed at 421 and a quarter, up three quarters. Cash beans closed at 1150 and a quarter, that was up 4 1/4 cents, and new crop beans closed at 1113, and that was up 2 cents. And wheat closed at 581, down 9 1/4 cents. August Class 3 milk contract is trading at 1960 a hundredweight. That's down 47 cents. And September milk is trading at 2006, down 28 cents. Barrel cheese closed at 188. That was up 2 3/4. 40-pound block cheese had no change and closed at 190. And the double A butter also had no change and closed at 313 3/4. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Dark, damp, dreary, and breezy today as showers and thunderstorms ramp up again this afternoon and into the evening, bringing some heavy rainfall totals possible. Where over an inch of rain is likely, rising rivers and creating some flash flooding. Stay safe. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 69 degrees.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
This Independence Day, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM, WGBW Talk of Green Bay, would like to give thanks and recognize men and women of the armed forces for defending our freedom and wish everyone a safe and happy holiday. This message made possible by Dan Reisner and Sons Excavating, serving all your excavating and truck needs with over 40 years experience. Call 920-897-2397 and visit them online today at danreisner.com.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Coming up on our next show, Mark Houston joins us from Bell & Sports Medicine. We'll be moving with Ben Indiana Melcor, and Terry Barr offers up another slice of Wisconsin.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9.
Yeah, what about your friends, huh? Seems that many friends of the president have had all manner of different opinions following his debate performance, which was nothing short of a catastrophic failure. I'm not going to defend it. Of course it was that. I hate the fact that people are sort of claiming it to be anything but that. Please don't try to BS, right? That was bad. He had one job, to assure the American public that he is fit as a fiddle and ready as ever, and he failed to do that. The debate performance was a disaster. I think why is important beyond simply the president's age. Of course, his age is the major factor, but what about the preparation was the problem? I think that even a man in his 80s, as Trump would be if he were to be reelected or elected for the second term, the problems of old age are there for both candidates. But what exactly was happening in Joe Biden's preparation? What's different between how Joe Biden prepares for debates versus Donald Trump that might help explain, at least understand, some of the differences here? And I also have some critical thoughts for those that are calling for the president to be removed from the ballot or for him to step down. My first thought that I wanted to share with you, my grounding thought, is this. Whether or not Joe Biden steps down from the Democratic ticket, it needs to be Joe Biden's choice. Fracturing the party or leading, somehow trying to challenge his nomination at the Democratic National Convention, in my opinion, would be a grave, grave error. If there is to be a different candidate, it has to be because President Biden himself, in consultation with his advisors and family, determines that he should step down. Now, even under those circumstances, there are some wrinkles, some challenges that I haven't heard many people talking about. And the first one is campaign finance laws. Depending on who the subsequent Democratic nominee would be, there are campaign finance limitations on whether or not money, potentially tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars, raised by Joe Biden's campaign itself or by aligned PACs or 501c4s could actually be used or deployed for a different candidate. This matters, and it matters a lot. We can't gloss over these campaign finance rules and act as if there's some sort of magic wand. It is imperative that the Democratic nominee and our party abide by campaign finance laws. So I just want to point that out. That is a serious challenge to any other potential nominee coming out of the DNC for the Democratic ticket for president. So I want to point that out. The second item that I wanted to point out, and our good friend Mark from Prairie du Sac really made this point well, listen, voters have spoken. And in this moment where we know the challenges posed, not just by the Supreme Court, but by the MAGA cult itself, the claims that Steve Bannon, now incarcerated Steve Bannon, and others have made that if Joe Biden wins, it means that the election was stolen, which is as ridiculous and imprudent as it is partisan. Guess what? Voters have voted for Joe Biden in presidential primaries. That is the reality. And voters didn't, it wasn't like Joe Biden's age was some big secret or the criticisms of Joe Biden related to his age were some big secret. I find it to be quite challenging to all of a sudden say, well, those that voted for him in primaries, well, not so much anymore. We'll just do whatever we, the party elite, the commentariat, decide is best for the nation. I find that to be really problematic. Again, that's completely different if Joseph R. Biden, our president, decides that he is going to be a one-term president and steps back from his bid for a second term. So again, voter will has to matter. It has to matter even when it's difficult. And campaign finance laws also matter, and they're going to matter a lot in this election cycle. So those are two things to look at. A couple of other factors before I give you fundamentally what I think is ultimately the bottom line for all of us, including conservatives. And I do want to give you a little commentary on what I think went wrong in the debate prep, and especially why there's such a stark difference between Donald Trump and Joe Biden. Who exactly is it that's going to replace Joe Biden? Is it anybody? Hearing from people, well, he just needs to step back. Okay, well, who? Now, I've tallied off numerous, especially female candidates, that I think would be fantastic. But the polling matters. How do they stack up against what Joe Biden would do?
Yeah, but you're also talking about the people and what the people have voted for, and they voted for this administration in the primary, and that would be Kamala Harris.
That's correct. Then the question becomes, is it presumptively Kamala Harris, and who is a running mate, right? And frankly, this, let's not gild the lily anymore. To me, the fundamental bottom line here is, who's going to put us in the best chance of winning this election in the fall, given the time that we have left, as well as some of these campaign finance concerns that I've outlined? I think really good and rigorous polling over the next month is essential leading up to the DNC. I think the president would do well to pay attention to that, to pay attention to polling in the swing states, especially after this debate. I am curious whether this Supreme Court ruling is going to be met with favor across all factions of the varied conservative, you know, atmosphere right now. I don't think many conservatives think having a president who's a king, if they're conservatives of conscience, think that that's a good thing. Certainly, again, the Leonard Leos of this world and the extreme right think it's a good thing, but I don't know that that's a universally held sentiment. So I think very much so, I think the president and his advisors and his family need to be looking very carefully at polling. And to your point, Brian, I think they need to be polling to see what would a Kamala Harris-led ticket look like, because that is indeed the administration that primary voters have endorsed. I'll also throw this out there before I turn to the debate prep question. If I'm Joe Biden, fundamentally, I have to ask myself, what is it that I want my legacy to be? The man has served his country for his entire life. He lost one of his sons in service to our country. If Joe Biden goes on to lose this election, that will be his legacy. That is it and nothing more. All of the good that he has done, the harm that he has avoided, the disaster that would have been another Trump presidency, the recession that we would no doubt be in, will all be washed away. So I think that needs to be closely assessed by President Biden and his closest advisors. Again, the bottom line is, who puts us in a position to defeat the gravest threat to American democracy and our project for peace that we have seen in modern American history? That is fundamentally the final analysis. I have this to say for the prognosticators and the commentariat and the bloggers and the Substackers and all the people that a day after were calling across the board for Joe Biden to step down. Boy, isn't that easy. That's a really easy thing to say when you don't know how it's going to play out. It's easy to say, well, I'm the one that's speaking the truth and calling this out. Listen, I'm not sugarcoating the man's debate performance. It was miserable. It was catastrophically terrible. It was the opposite of what we needed. And yet, we simply have to be laser focused on the only question that matters. Who is best positioned to defeat Donald J. Trump this November? We have to put our best foot forward. We can't be looking in the rearview mirror and wringing our hands about, oh, gee, this should have happened then, and this person, and blah, blah, blah. None of it matters. We are where we are, and we have to look forward. And again, the bottom fundamental line is, who will beat Donald Trump in November? And even with the strongest of imaginable alternative candidate, it's still going to be an election of razor-thin margins. It just is. There's no Democratic replacement that by any polling I've seen is like, oh, that's a slam dunk against Donald J. Trump. If there was such a candidate, I think Joe Biden may very well be moved to step down. But the lack of clarity from any kind of polling is adding to this mix. So again, we have to look at fundamentally what the bottom line is. You want to give your 2 cents, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Texter from the 262 pointing out that Kamala polls worse than Joe. She needs to stay on as a vice presidential candidate. I also think there's going to be interesting polling, potential small movement, depending on who Donald Trump picks as a VP candidate. So there's so much that's unknown at this standpoint. We do have a little bit before the convention. Let's keep encouraging our president and his advisors to poll and to poll very deliberately, to not sugarcoat the reality. And we all should be simply focused on defeating Donald Trump this fall. Let me turn to the question of what exactly went wrong. They're both old dudes. Donald Trump, I think, observably is in worse physical health. So what is going on? Why is it seemingly so easy for Donald Trump to get out there and prattle on for 90 minutes? Well, I'll tell you, first of all, Donald Trump doesn't care a whit about the truth or any policy detail. They're not trying to cram any facts, figures, or policy specifics into that guy's head. All he does is go out there and trumpet the same sort of garbage that he spews at every rally he does. Those lines are so well ingrained in Donald Trump's brain that there's no way he can screw them up. His entire delivery is 100% unburdened by any fact check or any policy detail. Which brings me to what exactly went wrong with Joe Biden's prep. Now, I know this not because I've prepped a presidential candidate for a debate, but because I've observed intimately and closely various elected officials when they are being advised by teams of people, especially as to politically contentious issues. I worked in government for a long time. I've seen the sausage get made, never at the stakes of a presidential debate, but in smaller ways. And here's what I know to be true. There are far too many people advising elected officials, not just at the local level, at the state level, and certainly at the federal level. It's even more extreme. With each sort of jurisdictional size increase that you go up, the more and more advisors you have to these elected officials. By one report that came out from the Washington Post, there were 18 different people publicly listed as assisting President Biden with his debate prep. And everybody knows that there were more than the 18 there. Can you imagine, let's say conservatively, 25 people giving you all kinds of wonky policy details about everything that the United States has to be concerned about for 2 weeks? I'm 47 and I couldn't keep all that straight. That is a fundamental failing. When an election is about very simple things at its root, then the debate prep needs to be simplified. When your candidate is an 81-year-old man, you cannot hit him with 25 policy wonks flying details at him and telling him five different answers to every single question. It's a stupid way to do it. It should have been distilled down to the most understandable case that can be made to the American public and to the swing voter. Things like, we need to tax wealth just like we tax work. I reduced the deficit. Donald Trump increased it by the largest margin by any president in modern American history. Those sorts of very simple things. I stand for the principle that we are all equal under the law and should be equal under the law. You know, things that people can remember. So I hope people out there listening who might be in Joe Biden's ear take two things from what I'm saying. Pay attention to what's happening in the polls. We've got to win. And if it ain't your guy, let's figure out who it is. And second of all, if it is Joe, come September, put three people in the room with him and give him some simple things to say to the American people, because that's what matters. This election is about saving democracy, no more and no less. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back with my cramming in 3 days of Joe Biden's top 100 in 10 minutes after these important messages.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Donald Trump brags he nominated the justices who overturned Roe v. Wade, getting rid of the constitutional right to abortion.
Well, I did something that nobody thought was possible. I got rid of Roe v. Wade. For 54 years, they were trying to get Roe v. Wade terminated, and I did it, and I'm proud to have done it.
Donald Trump not only took away abortion rights, he wants to monitor pregnant women and punish those who seek an abortion. Just listen.
Do you believe in punishment for abortion? Yes or no, as a principle?
The answer is that there has to be some form of punishment.
For the woman?
Yeah.
Banning abortion, monitoring, and punishing women. That's how far Trump might go in a second term. Visit abetterwisconsintogether.org/TrumpMonitor to tell Donald Trump his views on abortion are too extreme for Wisconsin. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm going to cram 3 days of Joe Biden's top 100 into our last segment here because I owe it and I've been promising all of you. It's so hard, Brian, when there's so much to be talked about. But let's dive right in. Last week, Friday, I didn't get to day 20. Last week's theme was healthcare. And on the last day of that week, I think it was really important to talk about what Joe Biden did to save American lives at the tail end of the pandemic. One of the most important things that Joe Biden did was maximize his ability under the Defense Production Act to ensure that vaccines were being manufactured and provided to the American public as quickly as humanly possible. Also PPE, personal protective equipment. Now, Donald Trump had started to do this, but as a point of fact, the use of the Defense Production Act under Joe Biden to bring us vaccines for nothing, for free, and PPE for free was vastly, vastly accelerated, beginning specifically at the very tail end of 2021 and onward. On day two in office, Biden also issued Executive Order 14001, directing federal agencies to inventory PPE and COVID-related healthcare devices, things like ventilators. And it authorized using the Defense Production Act to produce these medical supplies and included provisions for sharing those supplies amongst agencies and then getting them to states. That was absolutely essential. Joe Biden did that, and it saved American lives. He did that on day two. Again, once the supplies for both vaccines, ventilators, PPE, and other medical supplies related to COVID were sufficiently built up, he then directed the distribution of those supplies for free through state departments of health, as well as pharmacies and your personal doctor's office. I know I got some free PPE from my doctor. I got free COVID tests. That was also Joe Biden. There's unquestionably thousands of American lives were saved because of Joe Biden's decisive action to fight the very real pandemic, not to spread lies and misinformation about, you know, bleach or sunlight being directed into our bodies, which what was Trump was talking about, and, you know, a little Ron Johnson mouthwash action. This week's theme for Joe Biden's top 100, day 21 yesterday, is foreign policy. And let's just say this. You're a business owner, whether you're a small business owner or a huge international corporation, or you're an American citizen, we are best served by predictability and stability when it comes to American foreign policy. And there is no reasonable argument that Donald Trump is either of those two things. Here's what Joe Biden is: predictable and stable when it comes to U.S. foreign policy, especially as it relates to the world's most important and most powerful military alliance, that is the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. Under Joe Biden's leadership, Finland and Sweden were joined NATO as the 31st and 32nd member states. As a point of fact, a week from today, the 2024 NATO summit will convene in Washington, D.C. Topping the agenda for the 32 member states will be the support of Ukraine. Joe Biden has been unwavering in the threat that Vladimir Putin poses to the United States and unwavering in his support for funding and support to Ukraine. Meanwhile, Donald Trump thinks Putin's a great guy and has said repeatedly, when asked by the press, that he actually will trust Vladimir Putin's word instead of the word of our U.S. intelligence agencies. And let's not forget, the man attempted to extort Ukraine to what? Dig up dirt on his political rival. Again, something that I'm sure the Supreme Court would declare absolutely immune. So nothing to see there, I'm sure. I think it's also really important to point out Joe Biden's foreign policy as it relates to China and the tough stance that he's taken on China while trying to maintain diplomatic relations, especially as it comes to, frankly, what is known as corporate espionage or the stealing of trade secrets that is often engaged by various Chinese governmental sanctioned corporations and businesses. Joe Biden has also worked in sharp contrast to Donald Trump, where Donald Trump's policy vis-a-vis China has largely been, let's just tax the heck out of Chinese imports, which basically pass those costs onto U.S. consumers, instead of adopting what all reasonable economists agree is a nearly certain to create a recession approach to the trade imbalance with China. What Joe Biden has tried to do under his presidency is encourage and support businesses that are competing with China. Think semiconductors, think solar panels, think all kinds of computer chip, as well as other consumer goods. That is how we build a sustainable economy in the United States, not by engaging in, frankly, a shell game of tariffs that just makes everything more expensive for U.S. consumers. I may save a bit more of my comments for day 22 today on Joe Biden's foreign policy as it relates to the Paris Climate Agreement and what that means more broadly for the United States' role in leading the world to try to save ourselves from climate change. Here in Wisconsin, we're known to be conservationists. We love our natural resources. There's simply no way to square Donald Trump's policies with those values that we hold so dear as Wisconsinites. But let me bring it all around. I began Joe Biden's top 100 today by talking about COVID. I'll end it today when we talk about Joe Biden's commitment to the World Health Organization. It can be summarized this way. In April of 2020, as the world was facing a pandemic, Donald Trump took action to remove the United States from the World Health Organization, a move that can only be called galactically stupid and short-sighted, putting millions of American lives at risk. Joe Biden turned that tide back and has recommitted the United States to our role as a world leader and our membership with the World Health Organization. It's that simple. That's all we got time for today. I'll be back tomorrow. I'll have Dr. Christian Lyerly, candidate in the 8th Congressional District. I'm Maggie Dawn. He's Brian Kelly. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it is always better when we stand together. The devil's advocates are next.
We're going to be friends for a long, long period of time.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, a special reading of Sinclair Lewis's It Can't Happen Here, coming to the Waukesha Public Library, and public service announcement with Dr. Laura Hanks. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver.
and I dedicate a lot of my time going fast. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently or having trouble with routine tasks. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services and access available treatments. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.